Currently 55 degrees in Appomattox, Danville, Roanoke, Lynchburg. Everybody seems to be sitting pretty firmly at 55. Salem has 54, looks like.
Okay.
Yes?
Cats. Now, I'm reading this story about cats. Cats can remember your name.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard that?
I've heard they have an interesting vocabulary.
And they can remember names of other cats. They're quite intelligent, apparently.
Oh, Lord.
Cats can remember each other's names, according to a report at Study Finds. Cats often get a bad reputation for being antisocial and fairly uninterested in everything we lowly humans have to say. No kidding. It's because, you know, if they were bigger than you, they would kill you and eat you just like their friends, the lions and the tigers. A new study out of Japan finds cats really are listening and know exactly who their owners are speaking to. And cats understand and remember the names of their feline pals. That's how they're going to gang up and plot to kill you. You know it.
Okay. So this just shows even more how naughty cats are.
Yeah, true, true.
Because if they have a keen understanding,
mm-hmm.
and they still ignore you.
Right.
Naughty.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's times my dog can act like a cat that way.
Winston's my cat.
Yeah.
I think I sent this to you and Kara. The cartoon of the cat singing "You've Got a Friend."
No,
you just call out my name and you know wherever I am, I'll ignore you. I don't give a damn. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, I won't respond to your call. I'll ignore you. Yes, I will. You've got a cat. So, there you go.
That's good. That's good.
That's pretty much it. If a cat was James Taylor, that's right. How he would sing the
right.
song.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
That does. That just proves to you they know full well what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and they don't care.
Yeah. Well, I read part of this article my brother Jim sent, and this is the video link to it, that cats can sit there, and they do. They will sit there and stare at you, showing no emotion whatsoever. My one dog, Oliver, and my cat, Bristol, had a stare-down contest, and the cat won because Oliver eventually started growling. And the cat just didn't even miss because they were 10 feet apart now.
Right.
So, but yeah, the cats can outstare dogs, I believe. I think they can.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't have a cat like that. Stevie was not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy doesn't like cats. And Stevie never put him in his place.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have that going on. But most cats... My money would be on the cat.
Yeah.
Most of the time, especially if they're, you know, fully clawed.
Our neighbor just got a kitten, and she's got two dogs that, I mean, the lightest of the two dogs, I think, is 90 pounds. The other one's up in the hundred, mm-hmm. low hundreds.
Terrified of cats?
Well, the big one, Breezy, has taken onto the cat, won't let the cat out of its sight. So it's kind of mothering the cat.
Oh, dear. Mothering, smothering.
Well,
it's both ways.
It could happen. But it is interesting to see the dynamic happen between the different animals inside your home.
Interesting. There's a KFC employee in Tennessee who's being called a hero.
Oh, do tell.
They've been credited with assisting law enforcement authorities in the arrest of a man who kidnapped a woman.
Hmm.
Diego Clay, 23, was arrested Sunday for evading arrest and kidnapping after the victim he was with secretly wrote a note begging for help and left it behind for the employee. After Clay and the woman exited the restaurant, the employee called law enforcement to report a possible kidnapping, providing them the note and a description of the man and the woman, according to the report.
Hmm.
Memphis police officers were able to track down the two individuals who matched the description provided by the employee before Clay made eye contact with them, refused their orders, and ran away. After a brief foot chase, he was taken into custody and charged. The woman who was allegedly being held against her will, told police she had been in a relationship, but that she was the victim of physical assaults and threats. The victim said he had been abusive towards her, had punched her in the face whenever she tried to leave him. She also told police that he was armed with a handgun, and they had been staying in various cheap hotels in the area, according to the documents. He'll appear in court on June 1st.
Yeah. Wow.
God. See, that's... I'm just glad that employee was paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can tell you right now, there's a lot of employees not paying attention.
Oh, I know. I know.
I mean, my Mark went into a store and was ready to check out and had his stuff at the register, the regular register.
Right.
And the girl, barely looking up from her phone, said, "Self-checkout's open." That did not go over well.
Yeah.
What if he had been kidnapped and they had a note for her?
True.
See?
That self-checkout kiosk isn't going to save anybody's lives.
No, it's unless you hold it up to the camera. And then nobody's going to be looking at it.
Well, true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm not even sure they're rolling tape. There's just maybe just a deterrent or something.
Maybe so.
We'll figure that all out someday. Hey, Trey Watkins is going to stop by the studio around 7:30. We're going to unpack a little bit of President Joe's speech yesterday, where he comforted the nation. Yeah, brought us all back together.
If you want to call it that.
Brought us all back together.
Right.
So we know at least the focus that of our hate.
Well, speaking of which, what about these Senate races?
Yeah,
that are going on right now.
They're still saying. I think the one in Pennsylvania between Dr. Oz and the other guy,
Dave McCormick.
Yeah, that one's still too close to call.
Yeah, is that one's going into overtime?
Yeah, they're going to recount that guy.
Apparently.
Yeah.
They say that one's too close to call, and they're virtually deadlocked. Both candidates acknowledged that a winner would not be determined last night. Dr. Oz said, "We're not going to have the results tonight." He told supporters at his primary night. Oz, who launched until the launch of his Senate campaign, was the host of the show, Dr. Oz. He predicted that after the votes are tallied, I'm convinced that we'll win. With the two candidates virtually tied, as Tuesday turned to Wednesday, McCormick told supporters, "We're not going to have a resolution, but we can see a path ahead. We can see victory." Well, one of them's got to be wrong.
Yeah, one of them's going to be victorious and the other won't. And, you know, I guess if it's so close, they'll have to do a recount. I don't know what the state law is in Pennsylvania.
Well, there's some people who think Oz is going to win, and they think that maybe that could be because Trump did a full court press
for him. Yeah, he really did. He heavily promoted Dr. Oz.
Well, because some people were like, is he really conservative?
Right, yeah.
Or is he just saying that? And he did thank President Trump, you know, during that time. Veteran and conservative political commentator Kathy Barnett, the Trumpiest of the Trump candidates, who surged in public opinion surveys in recent weeks, was in third place.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, they said she was a little, kind of like Jell-O, hard to nail down on some things.
Okay, well, can't be like that.
So
it's not going to work.
But it'll be interesting to see. You know, they're going to speculate who she sifted more votes off of, either Dr. Oz or the other guy. But she was definitely a Trump supporter.
Interesting.
Seems like Pennsylvania's pretty pro-Trump, from what I can tell.
Well, it looks like Ted Budd, he easily won the nomination, besting former Governor Pat McCrory.
Is this for the governorship, I guess? Okay. Yeah, Pennsylvania is a unique state. They can have Republican leadership in the Senate and in the state house, and it's still considered kind of a blue state.
11th district didn't do as well. Idaho didn't do well. So we'll just keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and Cawthorn, the guy that Trump backed in North Carolina, a lot of really bizarre stuff came out towards the end about him. You know, a lot of pictures of him showing off his six pack. I mean, just some strange stories about him towards the end, and the Republican leadership didn't want him back. They had really gone out of their way to make sure he didn't win.
How old is he?
He's a younger guy. I'd say he's probably in his late 30s, you know, okay. Something like that. But just some very questionable things came out towards the end. A nice good old smear campaign.
How is a guy with his shirt off a smear campaign?
Well, no, there was other things going on.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't care to go into, but...
Oh, dear. All right.
Yeah, just a lot of wacky stuff. But... And they said he was, you know, he drank all the Trump Kool-Aid, apparently.
Ah, there wasn't any left for anybody else. Okay. So, well, we'll
so
see
he
how,
lost
it,
yesterday.
How it works out, yeah. I guess. Hey, we want to offer our congratulations out to Jessica Smith. She was our winner with Come to the Table Tuesday.
She was.
We do that every Tuesday here on the show. It's brought to you by Honey Baked Ham on Candler's Mountain Road and Harvest Baptist Church, where they remind you it's time to be kind. And you can get your name in the running anytime just by texting Come to the Table Tuesday to 434-248-0704. We would love to get you in the running.
7:17 here on the Morning Jam Hump Day. We're headed into a very, very warm weekend. Some are welcoming it. Others that have to work Saturday with very dark clothes on because they're DJing, well, they're hoping for cooler weather. And I wonder when we are ever gonna change. Living under the fear till nothing else remains. All the children say...
Turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Do you remember?
I do remember, but see, that's just like, you know what that is? You know what that intro is? That intro is a chocolate chip cookie candle. That's what that intro is. You walk into the house and you're like, ooh, they're baking chocolate chip cookies. And they're like, no, you may not have one because it's not real.
It's a candle.
It's a candle. So, you know, you get right up to it and everybody's ready to sing and you cut it off. Same thing.
Okay.
Work on that, buddy. So you have sons.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have sons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If the school reached out to you and said, Mr. Lamb, your son, Braden, has been charged with sexual harassment at school.
What did he do?
What would you think? What would immediately come to mind?
Well, I mean...
I mean, this is middle school.
And this is disappointment. He probably did something stupid.
Well,
maybe.
When I was in middle school, sixth grade, it mm-hmm. was the snapping of the bra strap.
Okay, yeah.
Or trying to sneak a kiss or, mm-hmm.
right.
you know, slapping you on the butt or something like that.
Yeah.
That was, you know,
yeah.
that's pretty typical
mm-hmm.
middle school behavior.
Yeah.
Not, you know, Terry Augenbright. He was the bra snapper. That's just the way it was. But no, none of that. Apparently, this young man is one of three Wisconsin students facing sexual harassment charges from their middle school over accusations they use the incorrect pronoun when addressing a student.
Oh, Lord.
Now, how is that sexual harassment? Help me understand that.
Well, in a sane world, it's not sexual harassment. But in our world of the new, you know, agenda, the new gender agenda.
Well, the mother was really concerned. I immediately thought sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's inappropriate touching. That's
absolutely
disgusting language. That's, you know, when I asked my son what he did, he said, I didn't use the correct pronoun. She was completely cut out of the process of this whole thing with her son.
Right.
And did not communicate what the allegations were about. They just said sexual harassment.
Right.
I didn't know what really had happened for 3 or 4 days. Mm. It took 3 or 4 days for them to send me the complaint or to even find out what it was he had done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The deputy counsel for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, who is representing the students, called the charge a gross misapplication of Title IX sexual harassment charges. Says sexual harassment covers really egregious stuff, not simply using the wrong so-called pronoun.
Right.
The school's theory seems to be that if any use of the wrong pronoun is automatically punishable under Title IX, and if that's their position, then that is truly an egregious First Amendment violation.
Okay. Wait a minute. Wasn't Title IX created for other reasons to protect women, like in sports
women,
and those kinds of things?
And it's just the opposite. They've bastardized it and made it into something completely different.
Yeah.
And now, you know, women are winning even less because the men are coming in and taking their medals, right. You know, taking their place on the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really a mess. Says this is middle school. They're learning how to interact with each other. They've been taught all their life that a girl is she and her.
Right.
They don't understand using plural pronouns for one student, not to mention the fact that they've been taught, if they've been taught, English.
It's improper English.
It's improper English.
Right.
Schools need to focus on education, math, science, social studies, not pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're talking about real pronouns. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this because, I mean, this is ridiculous. And he's afraid, this young man is afraid that he is going to have a Title IX violation
on
his record.
Yeah.
That could keep him out of college.
Mm-hmm.
It could follow him for a long, long time.
Sure, sure.
And to expect a middle school student to look at a girl and say they, them.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
It is. Yeah.
Well.
But that's where we're at.
But if they called it an it. Boy, that would get him in trouble
mm-hmm.
in a whole different way.
Oh yeah,
but it would be more appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're not you can't be two things. You can't. It really frustrates me.
It's going to end up in the courts. It's going to be.
I can tell you what it's going to end up. We're going to end up. Without any public schools. That's what's going to end up.
Yeah, well, it would appear that we're headed in that direction because of the parents, you know, pulling their kids out.
Well, wouldn't you? I mean, if
oh, yeah,
somebody dared to do that.
I'd figure out a way to homeschool or something. Private school. Take on another job to send them to private school. I don't know. I would figure something out. Because it's getting beyond... It's getting beyond silly. It's the confusion. I just what we're doing with the kids and we teased and we put it on our Facebook, the Matt Walsh thing that's coming out. What is a woman? It's going to be out June 1st, and the people that walk out in the middle of the interview because he wants to know what a woman is.
Because he's pressing them and they don't want to deal with that.
And look what happened with the last Supreme Court, you know, hearings. She was asked to, can you define what a woman is? A woman was asking her. And she couldn't. Well, she refused to. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I saw some of the, I saw some of the trailer of it.
Yeah, it pretty much... It's an interesting situation. Let's put it mildly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how that shapes up. If you've got retirement accounts, this is something you need to be aware of. There is a new rule where attorney generals and treasurers from 24 states are urging the Biden administration to drop a proposed regulation that would require retirement investment managers to prioritize climate change concerns while managing American employees' retirement portfolios. What could possibly go wrong there other than everything?
Everything.
The Department of Labor's Employee Benefits Security Administration submitted a rule that would irrationally require fiduciaries to elevate immaterial and speculative risk in employee retirement savings investments decisions. Everybody needs to be fully aware of whether or not they're going to be impacted by this. Yeah. I know it's 24 states. While we go into news, I'll look and see if Virginia is one of them. I know West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina have all joined in with this. So,
hey, Randy,
we'll take a look and see.
You there?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, you got 60 seconds to make your point. We got to go into break. Go ahead. Tell us about
absolutely. Hey, the young man for sexual harassment and also the young man up in New York, they were probably fed a steady diet of Aunt Jemima pancakes with Aunt Jemima syrup, and more than likely they used Land O'Lakes butter with the Indian girl on it. I'm sure that that caused all that problems.
Could be.
Don't forget the side order of Uncle Ben's rice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They had no chance.
They had no chance. You're right. Randy,
you're right.
Thanks for being pithy and to the point.
It's a beautiful day. Enjoy it. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you. Trey Watkins just got here. We're going to talk to him coming out of the break and see if we can unpack what some of the things the president said yesterday to unite our great nation here. It is 7:31 CBS News Brief. Kimberly McBroom with WDBJ 7. Then we'll be back.
Currently 57 degrees in Roanoke and Salem, 56 in Bedford, 57 in Lynchburg. We have 56 in Appomattox, and Danville has 57 degrees.
7:35, the Campbell County Sheriff's Office is asking for the public's help in locating a missing 26-year-old male, Stephen Tyler Johnson. He was last seen on Oak Hill Drive in Lynchburg on April 16th. According to the Sheriff's Office, Johnson hasn't used his cell phone. They haven't seen any activity on his financial accounts. Johnson has a tattoo on his ankle that has a unique number, 654-32-N-1. So he has an ankle tattoo with that number. Johnson suffers from seizures that require medication, and maybe without that medication, his family and friends are very concerned for his well-being. If you have any information about Johnson's whereabouts, contact the Campbell County Sheriff's Office, 434-332-9580.
Well, the Virginia Department of Corrections is preparing to release thousands of inmates early when a new state law takes effect this summer. The new system, which allows certain offenders to earn shorter sentences, passed under Democratic control during a special session in 2020. The goal was to encourage rehabilitation, but some fear it will increase crime. During an update at the Senate Finance and Appropriations Committee yesterday, the Virginia Department of Corrections legislative liaison Jeremiah Fitz Jr. said they're preparing to release an additional 3,212 people between July 1st and August 30th. He says that's on top of the 1,396 already expected to be released during that time frame. Said there will be an immediate surge of releases July 1st. Between October and the end of the year, those numbers will kind of settle themselves out and we'll get back to what the regular releases were. The reason for the sudden spike is that the law will apply to existing sentences retroactively, not just future ones. The new law expands these opportunities by creating a four-level earned credit system, allowing offenders to subtract up to 15 days for every 30 days served. The legislation also identifies which convictions only qualify for the current maximum of 4.5 to 30 days. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah.
And I guess it depends on how this works. Fitz says 62% have a violent crime somewhere on their record. 54% have a high to medium risk of violent behavior. And that's a concern for our Attorney General, who mm-hmm. voted against the changes while serving in the General Assembly.
Right.
Republicans tried and failed to reverse the reform this year after taking back statewide offices in the House of Delegates last election season. The only thing this is going to do, said Mieres, is create more victims.
Yeah.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. We'll know if we are seeing a sudden spike in crime. Could be an indicator.
Well, we've done the stories here on the show.
Yeah.
And look, depending on what it is, I mean, if it's a nonviolent crime and they're totally, you know, we really think there's some rehabilitation there, I think there are some cases where that
absolutely.
Could absolutely be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But, they gave an example of one woman whose husband is in a 22-year he's 22 years in of a 38-year sentence for robbery and use of a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And she says since being incarcerated, he's gotten his GED, mm-hmm. started college courses, participated in substance abuse programs, and has held a job in the front office. And she says he's excited that this law could give him a second chance,
mm-hmm.
and is giving them hope. If that's the case, I pray for much success.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for him.
No doubt.
So just be aware, folks.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll know if these are repeat offenders because they have a record, and that'll show up
right.
if they get arrested again.
Right.
Trey Watkins in the studio with us. Good morning, Trey. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Doing okay.
Just want to start out right away, just out of the gate. I don't know if you heard much of President Biden's comforting speech yesterday to the people of Buffalo and America, for that matter. You know he's on the world stage. The world is watching. This is one of his statements that I think we could agree that we're all against, you know, white supremacy.
White supremacy is a poison. It's a poison running through our body politic. And it's been allowed to fester and grow right in front of our eyes. No more. I mean, no more. We need to say as clearly and forcefully as we can that the ideology of white supremacy has no place in America. Failure for us to not say that, failure in saying that, is going to be complicity. Silence is complicity.
So if we're not condemning it, and we condemn it here, you're part of the problem.
I mean, who doesn't condemn it, though?
Yeah, that's I don't know anybody that's for it other than other white supremacists.
I just find it hard to believe, but so many people, you know, believe in the things that he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so evident in everyday life, not only just here in Lynchburg, but you look around the country, it's just like I don't think we live in such a racist, white supremacist society that Joe Biden claims. You know, remember when we first got in office, he said that that was the number one, you know, domestic problem was white supremacy or, you know, white racist males. And it was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest problem. I'm kind of now this kid that did the shooting. I mean, he does seem to be, you know, pretty jacked up. Racist? I don't know. I withhold, you know, opinions until I know more and understand more.
Did you read any of his manifesto stuff and all that?
I read about the manifesto, but it's 180 pages. Who knows what's in that 180 pages?
Right.
It could be a bunch of stuff in there. One page where he's talking about how much he hates black people.
Well,
he could say how much he hates white people. I don't know.
He contradicts himself, I think, a lot in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's mentally ill?
I think anyone who would do something like that, it has to be mentally bothered and disturbed in some kind of way. I don't think a normal, sane of person can do something like that.
I think white supremacists are crazy.
Yeah.
I do. I think they're all mentally just off. They are a few fries short of a happy meal. There's something is not right
mm-hmm.
for anybody who hates one person that much.
Yeah,
they've got something mentally not right with them, whether it's Jewish people or whether it's somebody who hates women. I mean, you know, you see these serial killers that mm-hmm. they hate all women
mm-hmm.
and all women must pay. And so what I think frustrates me, and we say this all the time, is to completely say, oh, well, he's just hateful and mean. He is messed up and disturbed. Yeah. How do we identify this and stop these people before they do the things that they did in Buffalo?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that they did identify it, though. From what I was understanding, people saw it. They understood that mm-hmm. he was messed up.
There were red flags.
There were red flags everywhere.
They evaluated
the problem
him.
Is, I mean, you look at what's going on around the country. The loose laws. We're not enforcing the laws that's even on the books. Mm-hmm. You know, why even have Congress? Why even set laws and legislation if we're not going to enforce them?
And we're releasing 3,000 people that have been caught and dealt with.
How many people are coming through the border, illegal immigrants that have that are on the FBI list, like terrorist lists? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so disingenuous
right.
by the Democrats and Joe Biden to suggest that this is such a problem that's coming from the conservative. Because see, what he's doing is he's the fear that African-Americans have lived with, right, with white supremacists and situations like this happening. The Democrats are putting that on conservatives. Mm-hmm. You know, they're or ultra MAGAs, as he says.
Right, right.
I'm starting to embrace them. I'm an ultra MAGA. But it's like, you know, if you're a conservative, then it's like, yeah, hey, you're equal to a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he said in his speech yesterday. He equated it to the January 6th and to Republicans.
Yes,
he's like, if you're conservative, basically, you're no different than the kid that shot all those people in Buffalo. And it's
how
like,
is
what?
That helpful? It's right. just dry. And not, we predicted that's what was going to happen. Yeah. And it is what happened. But they even had people that they interviewed. And these were people who were definitely hurting. But they would say, you know, that that's the way white people are, and, you know, especially white supremacists. So it's like they lump everybody together.
And it's just
disturbing.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, if you care, go to Chicago and give a speech.
Right.
You know, go to L.A., mm-hmm. go to Baltimore. Have you been to Baltimore lately? Mm-hmm. Have you, like, please go. It's not that far from you, Joe.
Yeah,
you know, you got to go by there. You go to Delaware or something.
Mm-hmm. He goes all around the world, well, Trey, and this, all they ask him, are you
well,
going to
yeah,
play
well,
that?
Yeah, yeah, let's listen to what he says here.
As President of the United States, I travel the world all the time. And other nations ask me, heads of state in other countries, ask me, what's going on? What in God's name happened on January 6th? What happened in Buffalo? What happened? They'll ask.
They're probably confused because they're wondering how the kid could drive 200 miles in a Ford to be able to get to Buffalo. They're like, what's going on? I thought y'all couldn't even drive anymore. Gas is so high.
Right.
In all seriousness, that's a long, 200, over 200 miles.
Yeah.
That's a long time. That's a lot of gas.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm sitting here going, do you honestly think that's the first, all the problems that we have, you really think people are asking him? First of all, you haven't been anywhere since Buffalo happened.
Right.
And Buffalo just happened. So how could world leaders be asking him,
and
what's
world,
going on,
world
Joe?
World leaders don't ask those kinds
and
of
it
questions.
Would say a lot more about the world leaders, but it's like, why aren't you asking him about like Ukraine and
right,
all this
right,
other
exactly.
stuff going on? It's like, yeah. why would you care?
It would
I mean,
be
I'm just
so
saying.
Tacky
yeah.
for them to do that. Why would they do
even
that?
Even it's tacky for Joe Biden to suggest that's what they're doing. World leaders are concerned about what happened in Buffalo, not to downplay what happened,
yeah.
but that is not what any world leader should be thinking
not
about.
Not even
or
remotely
calling
on the
Joe
list.
Biden about and asking him about, like in any part of a conversation. It's like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, what's going on with Buffalo? It's like, oh yeah, I mean.
And the thing about it is, does he honestly think, sadly, that situations like this aren't happening in every country in the world? I mean, would it be that it wasn't? Now, it might be happening with knives and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we see those stories all the time.
Yeah.
About people going in and not that it's good, but it's the fall of man.
And, of course, you know, it's he goes after guns and he says, oh, well, you know what we got to do, right? We got to ban assault weapons, even right. though the guy clearly used a pistol. And it's like, they do it every time. It's like, what does this have to do with AR? Like, you rarely see ARs used in any of these situations. It's kind of hard to get an AR and sneak it in somewhere. And like, you know, I mean, you have to be super technical. It's mm-hmm. possible, but why when you could have pistols? It just makes no logical sense
right.
when he's trying to attack assault weapons. You know, and like AR-15s and, you know, it's like, come on, man.
All right, I'll tell you what. It's, let's see, 7:48. Let's take a breather here. Let's come back. I want to talk about the great replacement conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah.
That's becoming more mainstreamed. We'll talk about that coming out of the break. We got Trey Watkins with us, Mark Lamb, along with Janet Rose. It's the Morning Jam on Hump Day.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
A little Hall & Oates for you. Just found out yesterday, Janet, that Daryl Hall has been added to the Elmwood Park Vault, or Dark Vault, whatever they call the Vault series.
Bud Light Vault.
Yeah, something like that. it's going to be August the 5th. He, along with Todd Rundgren, sings Hello, It's Me and Bang on the Drums All
and
Day.
And I Don't Want to Work.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be part
me
of the...
Me neither, Todd.
Yeah, so Elmwood Park.
Cool.
August the 5th. I'm going to try to make it to that one. That's going to be a Friday night. So,
that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. 7:52, we have Trey Watkins in the studio. We're talking about, going into the break about the replacement theory. And it's, whites being afraid of being overrun by different races, and it's been around, Trey, as you said during the break, for quite a long time. It's resurfacing. It resurfaced during Trump,
yep,
as we were discussing during the break, because he wanted to build the wall and hold out dark, brown, they say brown skinned people from South America. Well, we're just trying to keep the fentanyl and the sex offenders and everyone else out, because it's not just, people from all over the world are coming over our border. It's not just from Mexico.
Yeah. And they'll use it, they come up with these lies, and like with the Haitian immigrants, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Whipping them with the horse. With the horse. Remember, what happened to that investigation, by the way?
Oh, it just finished up in the last 3 weeks. And guess what? They were found not guilty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
and no one's talking about it.
No, they don't talk about, like, they talk about conservatives not wanting, people come to the border. Okay, but what about the liberals with Cubans in Florida?
Yeah.
They never bring it. They never want to even engage in a conversation about that.
Yeah,
because of the conservative voters that come from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such BS. And the theory, it'll never really go away, because I feel like from the conservative side, it's kind of, you look at it from different angles, from an economic angle, just a legal angle. You're legally coming into the country. There's plenty of reasons. Every country in the world tries to protect their border.
Sure.
But they'll always use, the white genetic annihilation kind of a argument, just to continue to fuel their racist agenda.
Right.
They always have that in their back pocket. And when they start doing this, it at this point, considering how things are going, it just reeks of desperation. They don't have any other option, really,
mm-hmm,
but to try to use that to gain some kind of momentum, just like the leak with the abortion,
right,
just like every other attempt that they're doing. They don't have any shot. The only thing Joe Biden has, the only promise that Joe Biden has fulfilled since he's been in office, is bringing America together. Because even to this day, when they show these polls, and it'd be like 29% of Americans think that Joe Biden's doing a good job, I'm like, please find me where in the world these 20. I'm like, then America is crazier than I thought, man. Like, it's 29% of the people you polled think
it's
Joe Biden is doing a good
thought.
Job?
Yeah.
It should be at least 99.9%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
minimum.
Yeah. I haven't found anybody who still argues with Joe Biden and thinks he's doing a good job.
Right.
As somebody that understands the argument like you do, and I say the argument or the situation that we find ourselves in, what could Joe have gone up there and said that could have maybe started the process of a conversation towards healing? Because healing just doesn't happen. It's a process.
Healing within that Buffalo community?
Yeah, or even the larger community of our country.
He could avoid divisive rhetoric, mm-hmm, one. He can start accepting responsibility, too. There has been a huge spike in mental health illness, mm-hmm, since the pandemic. We've shut down schools.
Sure.
We've A lot of outlets that not just kids, but people in general used to use. I mean, like, they just disappeared overnight. I mean, and it went on for years. And so, I mean, it's he could take some responsibility for that. Also, I think just focusing on the humanity part of it and not the guns and not the political stuff, but just saying, hey, you know, there's things that maybe want to say, you know, but today I'm not going to do that. I want to focus on, you know, bringing this country together. Like, tragedies like this just reminds us of how ugly and bad things can get. And it don't, sometimes it only takes one situation to spark, you know, many situations that happens. Prime example in Wisconsin, you know, with the Rittenhouse case, right? When, once he was found innocent or he was acquitted of the charges, then you had the guy not far from there drive through the parade, you know, killing all those people and like injuring those people. It's like, it doesn't take much sometimes that really just sparks it. And so at a situation like that, I would just, you know, I'd be like, man, you know, 10, that's a lot of people. And that whole community is hurting. I mean, the last thing I'd do is pour salt in the wounds and inflame more racist thoughts. I would take it away from racism.
Right.
Because I honestly still feel like we need to know more. I'm not going to call the kid racist. Right. I don't know. But what about the guy that shot up the massage parlor in Atlanta? Remember?
Right.
They would say, oh, he's racist. Well, the guy said, no, I have a sex addiction problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going broke and losing my life because I'm continuing to go to this massage parlor, getting happy endings basically every day. And it's like he lost his mind.
Yeah.
And just because the majority of the people that ended up that were working in the massage parlor were Asian, all of a sudden there was a racist attack on Asian people. And then you had all these, you know, hate crime adjustments to the Asian American community. It's like,
and we're missing what? The forest for the trees.
It's human trafficking.
It's
problem.
Human trafficking.
Like, had nothing to do with racism
by their own people. I mean, and it's a story, you know, there was absolutely nothing done that at the end of the day made the lives of these young women better.
Nothing.
Because they're still being trafficked and they're still being bounced around and playing this whole, I mean, and that is in, I know of a story where this was happening in Salem, Virginia. This stuff was going on in Salem, and I had a friend who was going in and getting pedicures and she was seeing these girls dressed not very professional coming out and taking the men back for their massages. And she's like, wait a minute.
Right.
What is going on here? And this thing, and that was right under her nose. And she'd been going there for a while but just happened to see it that
remember
day.
Remember Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots?
Yeah.
Remember when he got caught going into like a hole-in-the-wall massage parlor place. Like, what are you doing there, buddy?
Right.
You're a billionaire. Like, you're in this hole-in-the-wall massage place. Pretty sure. Totally covered it up. He got no punishments, nothing.
Right. Pretty sure you could hire a masseuse.
Right.
Don't they
that's
have
what I'm
those
saying.
For the ball players?
Well, yeah. Well, I've getting,
I know. That's an actual massage. Got it. Okay.
Well, you hang out one more segment?
Sure.
Okay. It's 8 o'clock. We'll have Bill Trefura bring us the local news. CBS will bring us the national, and then we'll get back with Trey Watkins here on this Morning Jam Wednesday.